Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for all you've given us. Lord, today we especially thank you for our salvation. Thank you that we can know you, that we can experience you working in our lives here on this earth. And Lord, we have the promise of eternity in a place called heaven. And Lord, as we talk about salvation today, I pray that you'd give understanding to those who are not believers. And Lord, that they would embrace faith today. And for us that are believers, Lord, that it make us thankful and help us to know how to better share the gospel with those around us. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We are in our new series talking about the aspects of salvation. Today we're going to talk about the call and conversion. Now next week, Tyler will talk about justification. Then we're going to talk about sanctification. And on Easter, we're going to talk about glorification. And you'll understand what all those things mean as we go along. But when we talk about salvation, we need to get kind of a working definition of salvation. And one theologian puts it like this: salvation is basically the application of the work of Christ to the individual. So you're going to take the work of Christ, what Christ has done, and you're going to apply it to the individual life. And so what all does that mean? How do we experience salvation? How do we know about salvation? How do we close the deal? We're going to talk about all that today. So here's basically how we're going to do it. We're going to talk about how God reveals himself. Because in order to know God, he's got to reveal himself to us. We have to have God reveal himself to us. And God has done that. And there's a general way that God has revealed himself to humanity. We call it general revelation. That is, this is how God has generally revealed himself. First of all, God has generally revealed himself to humanity through creation. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. I mean, creation itself, the heavenly bodies, declares that there's a God. Romans 1:20 says that since the beginning of creation, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. That means that creation bears the fingerprints of God, that God reveals himself in a general way through creation. Now, what that does is people look at creation, and if they're honest, I believe most people would say, you know what? It just couldn't have happened by chance. It just couldn't have happened by a mud puddle. Random mutation, natural selection, uniformitarianism, same thing happened over billions and billions and billions of years. If I can just add enough billions of years into it, then anything's possible. And then you think about evolution of species, and how does a species know to take care of its young? You know, we have keeping a grandbaby yesterday. You really have to be really up on a lot of things. It takes a lot of effort. And I don't see how something just happened from random mutation, natural selection, all that. You know, there's a part of me that says, man, there's got to be a God. It's just the DNA code. There's got to be an author to the code. So one of the ways that God reveals himself to humanity in a general way is through creation. When people look at the intricacies of nature, the functioning of the human body, the DNA, you realize, you know, there's an intelligence behind this design. It just didn't happen. It just did not happen. So God reveals himself in a general way through creation. That's outward. You look out, boom, there's got to be a God. But then God also reveals himself through the human conscience. If you go to Romans chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, it talks about there's a law written within our heart that bears witness to our conscience. That God has written his law within the human heart. You don't have to know God to have a conscience. That's universal throughout this world. There's an inner awareness that, you know what? I've stepped across the line I ought not to cross. I've done something I ought not to do. And somebody holds me accountable. There's an inner awareness that I have violated somebody's law. Why? Because that law is written upon the human heart, bears witness to the conscience. So here's how God generally reveals himself outwardly through creation. Look around, man, it's got to be a God. Look at all this stuff. Inwardly, well, I've done something against somebody, and I'm going to have to answer for it. So God generally reveals himself outwardly through creation, inwardly through the conscience. That's called general revelation. But now we know from Scripture that God has also revealed himself in a particular way or through special revelation through his word and through the person of Jesus Christ. Now Scripture itself bears self-witness that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, that God has revealed himself through Scripture. And God has revealed himself through the person of Jesus Christ. You go to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, that God has now spoken to us through his Son. That Jesus Christ is the ultimate communication from God to humanity. And if that be the case, then we need to know who Jesus is. Then he must be the linchpin. He must be the source that gets us to the Father. Matter of fact, Jesus would say such in John 14, 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes through the Father except by me. So you have general revelation, creation, conscience. Whoa, there's a God. I can see it. I feel on the inside. I'm answerable. There's particular revelation, Scripture, the person of Jesus Christ, who said he came from God, and he ascended back up to God. So, I need to know more about Jesus. And here's what Jesus said in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is a general call of salvation that goes out. Okay, we got the general revelation, okay, and now there's a general call of salvation. You can know God through Jesus. Jesus himself would say also in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So there's a general invitation, come to Christ. Now, it gets beyond that to a specific or an effectual or a personal invitation, a personal call. Jesus would say in John 6:44, no man can come to the Father except, no man can come to me except the Father who sent me draws him. So Jesus himself said, you can't come to me except the Father who sent me draw you. He would say in John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. So that is what the Calvinists would say, that's an effectual calling. I would say it's a personal calling that all of a sudden from this general revelation, God exists, there's creation, inwardly there's a conscience, there's an invitation to receive Christ, and now all of a sudden there's something that's happening on a personal level. There's a personal call being administered to someone's life. Jesus would say in John 16:8, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The word convict means to expose to the light. It carries with it the idea of shame and guilt. You know, if somebody's doing something they ought not to do and all of a sudden the light comes on and they're doing something they ought not to do, there's shame and guilt, isn't there? All of a sudden the Holy Spirit starts to convict us of sin. Okay, we've missed the mark. Of righteousness, we're not good enough to go to heaven. Of a judgment, the devil's already judged and there's a future judgment coming. All of a sudden, there's this shame and guilt as we are being drawn to salvation. So there's a general revelation. We can know God generally. There's special revelation through the person of Christ. There's a general call for salvation, and then an effectual or a personal call where all of a sudden it gets personal. Now let me ask you this. You've been in the doctor's office. Everybody's in that doctor's office. Say everybody's got a general call. But all of a sudden that door opens and they say your name. They open that door and they say, Marty McLean. What happens is that my eyes go toward the call, and then for some reason I start making body movement toward the call. Okay, they're calling me and I'm making movement toward that call. I'm not just sitting there saying, can you give me a few more seconds? I'm in the middle of this Southern Living article. I'm just not quite finished yet. No, it's like they call my name and all of a sudden I respond. Now here's how the gospel works. God has revealed himself, and you've seen creation. You've known there are things that you've done, that you've crossed some lines. And more specifically, you've heard the gospel, and you've heard that, you know, Jesus Christ came to save you from your sins, but it's just kind of been a general knowledge, general thing. But then all of a sudden, one day, it starts getting personal. It starts getting personal. It's like there's a room full of people, and all of a sudden you feel like God's all of a sudden said, you. Yeah, you. I'm talking to you. And all of a sudden there's a clarity that you haven't had before. There's an understanding that you've never felt before. And there's a tug, there's a pulling that all of a sudden you're like, I feel like something's going on. All of a sudden I've got this clarity that I've not had before when it comes to the gospel. And I feel this pulling. And when it says, no man can come to me except the Father that sent me, draws him. That word for draws actually means to drag. And so all of a sudden you start feeling God dealing with you on an individual basis. It's not just something academic. It's not just something that you've heard in church. All of a sudden it becomes a personalized message with your name on it. That's conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's a pulling, a calling. Now the Calvinists would call it an effectual calling. I'm going to call it a personal calling. That God is drawing you to himself through the gospel. There's a call. You're being pulled to the gospel. Now, what do you do with that? How do you respond? Because there's got to be a response. Here's the secret of life. The best time to deal with God is when he's dealing with you. If you're here and you're not a believer, and all of a sudden you're getting clarity like you've never had before, and you feel like, I feel like the light's coming on. I'm having an understanding like I've never had before with this stuff. And you realize, man, I got to do something. I know I'm guilty before God. Well, that's the Holy Spirit working in your life. Now, there's got to be a response. That's where you get to conversion. Now, what kind of a response is there to the gospel? Well, there's going to be a negative response and a positive response. They're both good. There's going to be a negative and there's going to be a positive. Like when Paul was talking to the Ephesian elders, he told them, hey, I've kept back nothing that was profitable to you. He said, I've stressed repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says the negative aspect of it is repentance. Now, repentance is a change in mind that leads to a change in direction. That's what repentance is. It's, you know, you're talking about your mind, will, and emotions. Your mind... you're like, I'm going to believe what God says about sin. It's wrong. Your emotions, I don't feel the same way I used to feel about it. And your will, I'm going to turn from it. So you're going to, repentance is a change in mind that leads to a change in direction. You know, I've changed my mind about this stuff. I believe this stuff is what God calls sin. And it's not good. And I'm going to turn, I don't feel the same way about it. I'm going to turn from it. That's repentance. Now, when Jesus first started his ministry in Matthew 4:17, he said, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I mean, that's what Jesus said. In Acts 17:30, when Paul was dealing with the philosophers on Mars Hill in Athens, Greece, he says, God now commands all men everywhere to repent. So you got to repent. You got to think and feel the same way God thinks and feels about sin. It's not right. It's not good. I need to turn from that. That's repentance. That's the negative aspect of it. So change of mind leads to change in direction. So I'm turning from sin, and now here's the positive. I'm turning to Christ. I'm turning to Christ in faith. Now what exactly is faith? Well, faith, some would say, is a commitment within the deepest part of who you are to the truth that has been revealed. I'm committing the deepest part of myself to what I've heard about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, exactly what all does that entail? Well, it involves the mind. You got to believe the gospel, that Jesus lived a sinless life, that he died on the cross, that he was buried on the third day, he rose from the dead. We'll talk about that more in a second. You got to, mentally, your mind, you've got to believe that, the contents of the gospel. Emotionally, you've got to connect with it from the deepest part of where you know who you are. And then with your volition, you've got to make a choice that you're going to trust Christ for all of eternity. Man, I believe the gospel. I'm turning from sin, repenting of sin, and I'm turning to faith in Christ. Now let me read something to you from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 8 through 10. It says, but what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, this is a quote from Deuteronomy 30:14, prior to the children of Israel going into the promised land. Moses was telling them, This is a choice you can make, blessing or cursing. You can make this choice. The word is here. You can make this choice. Now, here's how Paul uses it in verses 8 and 9. He says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You need to have an outward confession of an inward conviction that you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and he was resurrected from the grave. You have to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ validated everything that he said and did. If somebody ever says that they don't believe in the literal bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ and they say they're a Christian, they're not a Christian. You've got to believe in the literal bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what Scripture says. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, an outward confession, and believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Man, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He lived a sinless life. And when he was on that cross, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And with the sins of the world laid upon him as a sinless sacrifice, never having sinned himself, the perfect sacrifice, the wages of sin is death. With the sins of the world, he died. And so if he died for the sins of the world placed upon him, that means that the wages of sin is death. That means that he paid the wages of sin. He paid the sin debt. And he was buried and he was resurrected from the grave. And the resurrection was God the Father's saying, the sacrifice, the payment is accepted. The resurrection basically was the receipt that the payment had been made. The resurrection validated everything Jesus said and did and the death that he died. So you have to believe in the resurrection. So if someone gets to a point in life, they're like, feel that conviction of the Holy Spirit, that call of salvation drawing them. They understand from creation, yes, there's a God. They know from their conscience, yeah, I've done something I shouldn't have done. And all of a sudden they hear the gospel. Okay, I know Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world. But now all of a sudden it becomes 101. It's like a personal message. That means you. They say, okay, what do I do? Well, you got to repent of your sins. You got to think the same way God thinks about sin, that it's wrong. It's going to affect the way you think about it, the way you feel about it. It's going to affect your volition. You're going to turn from it. I don't want that. So doesn't mean that you never sin. Doesn't mean you'll never sin again. Now, some people mistakenly think, you know, for me to get saved or become a believer, I've got to get my life cleaned up. I've got to get my life in order. As somebody has once said, that's like thinking you have to take, you have to get cleaned up before you take a bath. No, you take a bath to get cleaned up. So you come to a point you realize, I've sinned. I understand these things are wrong. Man, I've known from looking around this world that there's a God. I can see it in creation. And I've known when I try to go to sleep at night, I've got a guilty conscience. I know what that's like. And I know that guilty conscience says, you're guilty, there's shame, you're going to have to answer this stuff one day to somebody. And I believe the gospel tells me who I'm going to answer to. But also I believe that the gospel tells me a way out. That's why the gospel literally means good news. Because it's good news. But see, in order for you to understand that it's good news, you have to understand that you're in a bad fix. You're in a bad way. And God starts working on your heart, drawing you, convicting you of your sins, drawing you to salvation. That's when you respond. That's when you respond. That's when you embrace faith. Now, what happens when somebody does respond? When somebody accepts Christ? What happens? Well, their sins are forgiven. Everything they've done is forgiven. Their past, forgiven. Their present, they receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit at work in their life. God sends his Holy Spirit to work within you. No longer drawing you, convicting you, but now the Holy Spirit's inside of you. Changing your desires and giving you the strength and the power to do what's right. It's called sanctification. And then one day when you die, you have the promise of eternity in a place that's called heaven. Now, when you die, your spirit will go to be with the Lord. Your body will be laid to rest But on the final judgment, that body that's laid to rest will be resurrected, will be changed for all of eternity. That's called glorification. We'll look at that on Easter. My past, forgiven. My present, empowered. My future is secure. Here's also what happens. All of a sudden, you have a desire and a power to obey what God wants you to do. It's like you didn't used to have that. All of a sudden, I've got a different want to. Can't explain it, my want to change. You have, all of a sudden, a deeper understanding of spiritual truth. When you come to church, all of a sudden, you're like, man, I actually got something out of that. I actually kind of understood what was going on. You read your Bible, and it's like, I can understand this in a way I didn't understand it before. You know why? The same Holy Spirit that inspired the writers of Scripture is the same Holy Spirit that's at work in your life. It says, that's what I inspired Paul to write right there. You're like, oh, makes sense. Overall, you have a new direction in life. Let me tell you something. When I was 14 years old and I got saved, I knew I got saved. When you talk about bells and whistles, I mean, I knew the event happened in my life. I mean, it was without a doubt. It changed. I mean, everything changed. The relief was incredible. As a 14-year-old boy, I knew that my eternal destiny had been altered. I knew that I had a different direction in life, and I had a hunger for things that were spiritual from the Lord. I had a greater desire to want to do what God wanted me to do. It just changed. It's like all of a sudden, a light came out. See, here's a way you can look at it. You know when there's a light bulb that's in the socket and the light's turned on but the light's not working because the bulb isn't screwed in all the way? It's like when someone receives Christ on the inside. The Holy Spirit comes, takes that light bulb and gives it that three-quarter turn, all of a sudden the light comes on. And when the light comes on, I don't know about you, but if I'm in a dark room, I can't tell what in the world's going on. But if I'm in a dark room and all of a sudden I turn that light bulb and the light comes on, I'm able to see things I did not see before. That's what happens when someone receives Christ. The light does come on, and we see things we haven't ever seen before. Life changes. It's different. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There's a newness of life. Romans 6:4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Talks about us identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know that's what baptism is? Baptism is symbolic. Baptism is an outward demonstration of an inward reality. You're in the water, and that represents your life before Christ. You're taken underneath the water. That represents you identify with the death, burial of Jesus Christ. When you come back up, it means you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's just a picture for everybody to see. I'll make a public confession. I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now I'm going to give you a public demonstration of my confession. Here's baptism. See, that's why we're baptized. Baptism doesn't save you, but it's another witness of the gospel. It's an outward declaration of the death, burial, and resurrection, because the resurrection validated everything Jesus said and did. Because of the resurrection, we receive eternal life. Now, I want to ask you this morning. Have you received eternal life? Are you born again? I'm not talking about, do you know somebody that says they're born again? I'm not talking about, have you been to church? I'm talking about, do you know that you're a believer? Do you know that you're a Christian? If you died, do you know that you would go to heaven? Do you have certainty? Some people say, well, I don't know if you can have certainty. Well, the Bible says, these things I have written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know. So what I do? Well, let me ask you, is it personal? Is it personal? Is the gospel personal to you? Is God doing something personal in your life? Is he drawing you? You deal with God when he deals with you. That's how it works. God's stirring your heart. You're like, you know, I've heard about some of this stuff, but it just seems really personal right now. That's God working in your life. I can't do that. But I know God uses his word. He sends his Holy Spirit to convict and draw. Let me say this. If you're here today and God's convicting you and drawing you to salvation, and you say, man, this is personal, you better believe it. Now's the time to accept Christ. So here's what we want to do. Right now, if you would just bow your head and close your eyes. You just do this right where you are. God knows your heart. God knows everything you think. He knows what you feel. He knows what you're going to do tomorrow. He knows what you're going to have for dinner tonight. He knows everything. So in your heart of hearts, why don't you just pray and say, God, I admit to you I'm a sinner. I've done things that are wrong. Ask you to forgive me for my sins. I repent of my sins. I agree with you, they're wrong. I turn from my sins and I place my faith in Jesus. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. He was buried and he rose from the grave. I believe that you offer me salvation through what Jesus did for me. And I receive the gift of salvation right now. God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me and caring for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just say this. If you're here today and you've asked Christ in your life, it's a game changer. Everything changes. Everything. Here, now, eternity. And get a load of this. What happened in the past? You're not held accountable for it. You're not going to have to pay for those sins you've done in the past. You're forgiven. That's a game changer. You've heard me say this before. Somebody's going to pay for your sins. Either you for all of eternity in a place called hell, or you accept that Jesus died on the cross on your behalf. That's a no-brainer. That really is a no-brainer. Here's what I want you to do. You've accepted Christ today. You say, yes, I've embraced faith. I know I have. So I didn't come here this morning expecting this to happen. But it's happened. And you know what? You need to be glad of it. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take one of those cards, see in front of it. I just want you to put your name, put that you've accepted Christ. You can tell me after the service. You can tell Tyler. You can tell one of the members of our band. You can go home. You can tell your wife. You know what? I did that. I want you to know I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he's died for us. It's personal. Oh, yeah, it's personal. I want you to tell somebody today that you've done that. Let us know at the church. We want to help you grow spiritually. We want to talk to you, about baptism. That is important. You don't have to be baptized to be saved, but it's an act of obedience. It's a good way to tell other people, hey, I want you to know something personal that happened that's really important, and it can happen to you too. So, if you've accepted Christ, I want you to do that. Now, if you're here and you're a believer, and maybe God's laid somebody on your heart, look, God wants you to be a witness. You can't save anybody, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, you can be a witness for Christ. And he wants you to share the gospel. So maybe it's something that's been shared here this morning that God said, here's an inroad I want you to take. Here's the way I want you to talk to this person. Don't just brush that off. Be willing to be used the way God wants you to be used to share the gospel with someone else. all right? I'm going to ask our band to go ahead and come forward. And if you would, let's stand, and we're gonna have a song. And if you need to come to this altar and pray, I want you to come to this altar and pray. Something else is going on with you, and you just need to, you know, where you are, just yield yourself to the Lord. I want you to do that today, okay?